Hey, it's Mike McEntee. Happy Friday to you. You have survived yet another week of the Trump administration. And just like every week, somebody gets voted off the island at the Trump administration. Just as we finished the show yesterday, H.R. McMaster was the chosen one, was chosen to leave the Trump administration. He got booted. We're going to be talking about that a little bit here today. Also, it is Funky Freeform Friday. We're bringing it back. We have open phones today with Nancy Nelson. So that should be fun. Nancy will be on the show. We'll talk about some of the things she wants to talk about, and we'll talk about some of the things you want to talk about. The phone number when we get going here is going to be 952-946-6205. So you got stuff you want to talk about. You had a bad week. You're frustrated. You want to talk about Facebook. You want to talk about what's happening with Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels. You want to talk about all that stuff. We'll be talking about it here on the show today. But first, I want to bring in Ellen Ratner from Talk Media News in Washington, D.C., because as crazy as it's been here in Minnesota, it's been crazier in Washington. Ellen, welcome to the program.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I'm sometimes in Washington, sometimes I'm in New York. Today I'm in New York, where I went to the United Nations briefing, which, of course, was very interesting. And, you know, you have to kind of choose which one you're going to be interested in, because both these days are so amazing. And, like, the United Nations one with John Bolton was just off the charts today.
Yeah, now John Bolton was the ambassador to the United Nations under the Bush administration, I believe, and now he is going to be...
That's right, and he was not approved of by Congress, and so he had to be made a recess appointment, which means he was served for just about a year.
Now he's becoming Trump's third national security advisor in 14 months. This is a very stable genius. In charge right now. What do we know? I mean, obviously we know Bolton has been the UN ambassador, but what do we know about Bolton that we should know?
Listen, I have to be very honest with you. I have been with him on Fox News. He is a nice man, but he's got crazy ideas. I mean, he is against any kind of detente with Russia. He's against any kind of detente with North Korea. He basically said that the top half of the United Nations building could go away and it wouldn't make any difference. Of course, people today ask, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that the Secretary General's office goes away too? I mean, that's unbelievable.
Now, Bolton has advocated that we do a preemptive strike with North Korea, preemptive war. What, we have a North Korea summit coming up. What does this do to that?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, I would like to be a fly on the wall, which, of course, I'm not going to be, when he and Donald Trump talk about what they're going to do with North Korea or Russia, because this guy likes to make war. He thinks the United States is going to win.
McMaster was a military guy, but it's always been my experience that the military guys are the ones who really don't want to go to war because they know what the cost is. They know they're the more careful ones. Bolton has absolutely no military background, correct?
That I know of, as far as we know, he has no military background.
So when you're at the United Nations today, were people worried that the United States here is suddenly going to be the country that's going to be, you know, shipping tanks around the world, bombing people, turning into the, you know...
Well, I'll tell you, you know, one of the United Nations correspondent who's there all the time, not like me, who's only there part-time, said that it's sometimes hard to sleep at night. And I think that they are very, very worried that the United Nations is not going to be, you know, up for the task, so to speak, of preventing war. And I think it has a lot of people there worried.
Trigger finger with nuclear powers that were controlled by, you know, Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. I would have trouble sleeping, too, if I was in charge. I don't worry about that at night, but I'm not the one that's in charge of all that stuff.
Right. And, you know, I mean, as I always say, well, they say, what would you do if a nuke was coming? I'd say I'd run towards it, because you want to be eliminated very, very quickly. It's that painful, as we know from people who survived Hiroshima. and Nagasaki. So, you know, you want to go right away if you're going to go. But who wants to go? And, you know, I just have to say, this is, we live in very scary times.
Now, why did we end up here? Because H.R. McMaster was brought in to, you know, keep things stable, keep things organized, run things very well. And
this was after they got rid of Flynn. And
yeah.
Actually, a friend of mine who's a right-winger, K.T. McFarland, and then they were going to make her the ambassador to, what's the name of that city state in Asia? I'm blocking on it. But anyway, they were going to make her the ambassador, and then they said that they were going to ask her too many questions, and then she said she's not interested.
So why didn't Trump and McMaster get along? Do we know anything about that? I mean, obviously they had some policy differences.
All we know is that McMaster advocated for something different than what Trump wanted, and now there's rumors that he's going to get rid of his chief of staff, Kelly, and that he's not going to have a chief of staff, that he's going to be his own chief of staff. Now, that's just a rumor. We don't know that for a fact. But that's
how
what we're hearing in Washington.
How does the White House operate without a chief of staff? Does it then Donald Trump is just in charge of everybody, and he calls all of his own shots and makes his own schedules and makes his own coffee? I don't know how that works.
I don't either. I mean, there are schedulers, and that's separate than a chief of staff.
Right.
But the White House does have schedulers, and obviously they have a press person, which is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. The five people that are up for communications director, I know two of them quite well. So there you have it.
Earlier this week, I mean, so much has happened this week, and it seems like ancient history, but I want to go back to Donald Trump congratulating Putin. He just kind of blurted this out at the end of a news conference, I believe. And President Obama, I think, did that before, but this was, he was explicitly told by his staff not to congratulate Putin.
Apparently somebody leaked this to the Washington Post, and it was in all caps, do not congratulate. But of course he did, because he does what he wants to do, and he doesn't pay attention to the advice that he gets from other people. Every time I haven't paid attention to advice I got from other people, I got myself in trouble. So, you know, he had advice, but that's okay. That's who he is. He's the president of the United States. He can do what he wants to do in terms of that. But his former foreign policy team did not want him to give Putin anything. Now, other than what he said with Theresa May about the poisoning of that person and his daughter, attempted murder because they're still in care, and we don't know what's going to happen to them, all we know is that he did send a letter with a couple of other European countries going after Russia, but he has never, as we know, on his phone call or anything, he didn't bring that up with Putin. So Putin can just say, hey, you know, let him say whatever he's going to say.
And it would seem that Donald Trump would want to shy away from that, given the investigation that's going on. I mean, the optics on that are not very good, but he's busy tweeting this week again, no collusion. Where are we with that whole investigation? Where is that headed these days?
Well, again, we don't know. The House Republicans have said there's no collusion. Mueller wants to interview the president. Now, that's very interesting because the president's lawyer also resigned, and he was against the president meeting with Mueller. The president, we don't know whether he's going to meet with Mueller or not. Looks like he might meet with Mueller, and so that is obviously going to be a huge issue.
Now, the president brought in a new lawyer, and he seems to be getting all of his resumes from Fox News lately, because between that and Bolton, both of them were on Fox News. I think we had another person who he hired recently was from Fox News. I don't remember that many media people being hired in other administrations like that.
Well, a friend of mine, as you know, I'm a Fox News liberal, but a friend of mine was running Fox News at one point and said that, they were all interviewing for jobs with the administration. And this was, you know, when he first became president. So he's been very interested in Fox News Channel for a long while.
I assume you haven't sent your resume over to the White House.
I don't think they're going to accept a liberal like me. I'm way too liberal for them. No, I don't even believe in borders. So there you have it.
Donald Trump doesn't believe in that the Chinese are playing fair when it comes to trade. And so he took some rather drastic action this week. That is, you know, imposing these tariffs. What's the expected fallout with that? Because his Republican...
Well, the Chinese have announced that they may put tariffs of their own. But again, we don't know what they're going to do because they haven't yet done it. Doesn't mean they're going to, doesn't mean they're not going to. We just don't know. But they put it out there what they would put tariffs on, and it's a lot of things.
This has to just be burning bridges. I don't know if there were any bridges, but burning bridges not just with Democrats, but with Republicans. I mean, how is this affecting his relationship with Congress?
Well, many people in Congress, particularly Republicans, will tell you off the record that they don't really like him, but that's who they're stuck with. And my concern about China is, because I work in Africa, is I see what China is doing in Africa, and we're not going to have our little grimy mitts in there. China will. And that really concerns me, because they're telling China's telling people in Africa not to accept aid from the West, that they're going to do it, that they don't care how they run their countries. And really what they're going after is Chinese. The Chinese are going after rare earth metals and that kind of thing that are all over the place in Africa.
Now, the government was set to, as you've said before, turn into a pumpkin at midnight tonight, but we have a spending bill that was signed, but it almost wasn't, and that was bizarre. Again, talking about burning bridges with Congress, this was a bipartisan bill that was put together, plopped on Trump's desk, and then he tweets out, "I'm thinking of vetoing it." Was that just a threat?
I have to tell you, now this is where, you know, a stop clock is right twice a day, and I don't disagree with Trump on this one. He was very upset that DACA, which is the Deferred Action Child Program for kids who were brought here to the United States, but not through any choice of their own, as children, usually from South America or Mexico. And he said none of that was in there. I happened to have been in Congress, actually was in the Senate, the day that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was gotten rid of. It was December 18th, 2010, so 7 years ago, a little over seven years ago, and five Democratic senators, two of them were still in the Senate, voted against the bill. So, you know, I think that Trump is right about DACA not being included. That was not cool of the Democrats not to try and fight for that.
But yesterday we had his chief budget people saying, you know, definitively, yes, Trump is going to sign this bill. And then he comes back and said, well, the Democrats got too much stuff funded. Was he just totally out of the loop on this whole thing?
No, I don't think he was out of the loop. But as you know, from word that has traveled, Donald Trump changes his mind a lot. And he goes back and forth and back and forth. And that's what people are putting up with.
So, given the changeable atmosphere in Washington, D.C., Congress is taking the next couple of weeks off. Or are we basically not going to have much news, or what's going on next week or so?
Well, you know, we never know whether they're going to, how much time they're going to take. There is a congressional calendar, which gives them, of course, the week between Christmas, between Passover and Easter off. So they do take some time off. But again, you never know. Now, there are some people that are saying that after this budget bill was passed, there's not going to be anything else passed this session of Congress, which very well might be true. My guess is they'll pass things like post offices and naming and things like that, things that don't matter that much. But in terms of the DACA bill, in terms of, don't forget, the budget again turns into a pumpkin September 30th. They've got to work on next year's budget. I mean, they have a lot to do, and if they're out of town, they're not going to do it.
Okay. Ellen Ratner, Talk Media News. We'll be checking in with you next week to see if inaction is the word of the week or if there's actually something going on in Washington.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, Ellen. We are going to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about the what's happening at the Minnesota State Capitol, or more importantly, what didn't happen this week. That's all next year on the Mike McEntee Show.
Stages Theater Company is dedicated to creating a space where diverse opinions, courageous dialogue, and community engagement is not only valued, but vital to our shared artistic and educational success. Stages Theater Company creates a welcoming home for all. For over 30 years, Stages has supported quality theater programming for children. Stages gives opportunities for youth to be on stage, backstage, in the audience, and in the classroom. Whether you come to see a show, enroll a young person in a workshop, or benefit from their outreach programs in the community, Stages brings art to life. Learn about Stages Theater by going to stagestheater.org and become part of the magic of live theater by taking your family to an amazing show or enrolling someone you love in an education program. Stages Theater Company operates out of the Hopkins Center for the Arts, located in Main Street in the heart of downtown Hopkins. For more information on Stages Theater, go to stagestheater.org. That's stagestheater.org.
Hello, Richard from Auto Technical. Imagine life without a car. Just getting to daycare, then to work on the bus. Do you have a car or truck to donate? We have families waiting for a reconditioned vehicle from Auto Technical. Your gift will change their lives. Remember, we recondition the vehicle so you'll receive a much higher tax deduction. 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
What could be more Russian than Matryoshka, the nesting doll? I welcome you to see one of the largest collection of Matryoshka in the world, now on display at the Museum of Russian Art. A stunning range of sizes, types, and eras are represented, showing how this iconic souvenir has evolved over the last 120 years. Our thanks to Target for sponsoring this extraordinary exhibition, open daily. Find out about all our exhibitions and events at tmora.org, that is tmora.org.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee here on AM 950. It is Friday. We're just kind of free-forming it today. I've got some news items here I want to cover, and then later on we're going to be opening up the phones at 952-946-6205. Nancy Nelson will be joining me, so both of us will be chatting and taking your phone calls. But a little bit of breaking news and a little bit of sad news. Former Minnesota First Lady Jane Freeman, who with her husband, Governor Orville Freeman, helped build the Democratic Farmer Labor Party after World War II, has died. She was 96. Jane Freeman, besides being, you know, the First Lady, was very prominent in her own work. She was involved with the International Understanding and Feeding of the World's People, let her help establish the Freedom from Hunger Foundation and the work with World Without Hunger. She served on the board of CARE, an international organization dedicated to ending hunger and poverty. She also served as the national president of the Girl Scouts from 1978 to 84. She was the mom of Connie and Mike Freeman. And if that name sounds familiar, he's our Hennepin County attorney. And I never made that connection, but there we are. Mike Freeman said that his mom was an extraordinary woman. She graduated from high school at age 15 and college before she was 20. Mike Freeman says that his mom was devoted to his father and a wonderful mother to him and his sister Connie. Quote, she proved that you didn't have to be loud to be passionate, but employed her gentle manner for fighting for labor, ending hunger, lifting up girls and women, and making Minnesota the nation and the world a better place. Memorial service is going to be Saturday, April 7th at 2 p.m. at Mount Olivet Lutheran Church. So sad news there about former First Lady Jane Freeman. I met her once, I believe, at a protest of all places. So our condolences to the Freeman family and a great loss to the DFL as well. Let's talk about what's going on at the state capitol, or let's talk about what's not going on. As we've talked about, the deadline for getting bills passed, or at least not passed, getting heard in one committee was yesterday. And with that, it means a lot of bills that were pending, possible, aren't going to happen this year unless there's some sort of miracle to resurrect them as an amendment. And as we were talking with Senator Latz yesterday, that's a little bit difficult. But a bill to create a Citizens Council on Legislative Ethics targeting sexual harassment and other ethics issues in the Minnesota legislature did not get acted on by yesterday. It's now apparently dead. We get more from Elizabeth Brown.
A bill aimed directly at combating sexual harassment in the Minnesota legislature will not be coming up for a vote this session. House File 3728 had until last night to pass at least one committee in order to move forward. The bill would have created a citizen-led committee to review the legislature's handling of ethics complaints, including sexual harassment. It would have consisted of 8 members, 2 appointed by leaders of each party from both the House and Senate. According to Lisa Stratton, with the St. Paul-based law firm Gender Justice, it's vital to fix what she calls a broken system of reporting these concerns in the legislature.
The current practice in the House requires not only written complaints, which is contrary to all research on best practices to find out about complaints, but requires them 2 members to bring the written complaint.
Sexual harassment has been a major issue in the State House. Late last year, both a representative and a senator stepped down amid harassment allegations, and the state says there have been 135 substantiated claims of sexual harassment across state government in the last 7 years. Stratton says the difficulty of getting a complaint through the Ethics Committee means many people who experience sexual harassment are forced to find other means of coming forward.
The complainant ends up making basically public complaints using the media to tell their story because there is no working internal mechanism.
Stratton adds the legislature shares characteristics with other organizations that have been studied that make harassment more likely.
There's a skewed gender ratio. The job duty, say, of being an elected official was typically historically masculine. And they have demonstrated at this point that there's an organizational tolerance to harassing behavior.
The bill may be done for now, but Stratton says they're not giving up. Gender Justice plans to get it reintroduced next session. I'm Elizabeth Brown, Minnesota News Connection.
And now let's talk about where sexual harassment and sports intersect. Major League Baseball has declined to discipline Miguel Sano after a lengthy investigation into an assault accusation. The Twins' third baseman has been the subject of an inquiry by Major League Baseball after being accused on Twitter of assault in a 2015 incident at Ridgedale Center in Minnetonka. There was, quote, insufficient evidence to support a disciplinary determination. That's according to the commissioner's office in a press release. Sano said in a release translated from Spanish, I want to thank Major League Baseball for conducting a thorough investigation, and I'm happy to put this behind me. Sano was accused on December 28th of this last year by a photographer who had shot occasional Twins games and player appearances of trying to kiss her and forcibly pull her into a bathroom after an autograph appearance at a fan apparel store in Ridgedale in October of 2015. Also another sports note, and I bring this up because of the money, Don Lucia. He has been the Gopher men's hockey head coach, and he's resigned, but he is going to make the same amount of money as a special assistant to the athletic director over the next 14 months as he would have as the hockey coach. He's going to make $630,000 as a special assistant to Mark Coyle. He had one season left on his contract when he resigned. The new contract for his new job was finalized and approved by the Board of Regents on Friday, today. Lucia's new duties focus on fundraising for improvements to 3M Arena at Mariucci. It's interesting. I mean, you know, good for him, I guess, that he gets a job, but it's just kind of like the University of Minnesota has this money and they decide they're going to spend, you know, we hear the complaints. We hear the complaints that the University of Minnesota doesn't have enough money, and here they are spending $630,000 to give Don Lucia another job. Now, he is going to be fundraising, so I hope he raises at least $630,000. I'm sure he will. I'm sure he's going to raise several millions of dollars, so maybe that will justify his salary. But it just gets amazing sometimes how much money gets paid for people who are in sports. We are going to take a break here, but when we get back, we are going to be talking with Nancy Nelson. We are going to be opening the phones up to talk about whatever you want to talk about at 952-946-6205. That's all, of course, after we hear from our Art Beat for the Week.
This is Art Beat for the Week. I'm Laurie Fitz from Connections Radio Show, and today I want you to get on the calendar the 37th Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival, and that's coming up in April. All the information on films and events may be found at mspfilm.org. The festival returns April 12th through the 28th, bringing over 150 new feature films and 100 shorts representing 70 countries to audiences throughout the Upper Midwest. This year, the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival maintains its hub at the St. Anthony Main Theater, but it's also expanding to include select screenings at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, with additional screenings at Capri Theater in Minneapolis, the Uptown Theater, Metropolitan State University's Film Space, St. Paul, and Marcus Wenberg, the 14 Theater in Rochester. The opening night film is one I want you to particularly pay attention to. The film festival opens with RBG, the acclaimed documentary celebrating the life and lasting influence of the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Director Betsy West will be in attendance. The film and opening night reception and party will take place at St. Anthony Main on Thursday, April 12th. RBG charts Ruth Bader Ginsburg's life through growing up in Brooklyn. RBG shows Ginsburg pursuing her education, falling in love, her lasting friendship with the late Justice Antonin Scalia, and the eventual appointment as the Justice of the Supreme Court. A fighting force, Ginsburg's determination throughout her life and career has earned her the title of notorious, both in politics and the wider public discourse. As a history-making public figure, Ginsburg has become notorious through championing of women, her ever-persistent work ethic, and her commitment to democracy. Women in Film is going to be showcased throughout this International Film Festival, and I encourage you to attend. There'll be Chasms and Bridges Cinema in Search of the Common Ground. There'll be Angels Wear White, The Blessed, Crime and Punishment, I'm Not a Witch, A Moment in the Reeds, No Date for Signature, Number One, A Fathers and Sons, Our New President, and many more. So again, consider being part of this amazing festival celebrating its 37th year, and it will take place all around the Twin Cities as well as down in Rochester. More information can be found at mspfilm.org, and I hope to see you there. This is Art Beat for the Week, Laurie Fitz from Connections Radio Show, airing 9 a.m. Saturday mornings.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotment, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Last night we put on an epic light show.
Yeah, we did.
The crowd loved us. We love the crowd.
Wait, but there were only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? All eight of their eyes lit up brighter than ours. And we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, that one girl, she looked like she'd never seen glow in the dark like this before. And we invented glow in the dark.
Yeah, we invented it.
And we're going to be out here every night rocking out our light show at a forest near you.
Woohoo!
So come check us out.
Check us out.
And bring your kid. All ages show. Oh, but don't bring any of those glass jars because they make us kind of nervous.
Yeah, and I'm super claustrophobic.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you and discover other cool things to do when you go, like fishing, biking, or even camping. Visit discovertheforest.org.
See you later.
Yeah, see you soon.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee back here on AM 950. It is Friday, so we're opening up the phones, 952-946-6205. If there's something you want to talk about, and joining me to field phone calls and talk about a lot of different things, Nancy Nelson, one of my favorite people. Hi, Nancy.
How are you doing?
I am doing excellent today. It's Friday. I'm looking forward to the weekend. You know, it's been a long week at the legislature, so all those things wrapped up. I'm ready to call her quits. So
I think you should. You just go home and put your feet up, and as you do so very well, Mike, because we all can tell that from your being on the air every day, do nothing. When was the last time you did nothing?
That's a good question, and I don't have an answer. So,
of course, you don't. You have absolutely no memory of it whatsoever. Never happened. I just before we started, I heard the news about Mrs. Freeman, Orville Freeman's wife, and of course Mike Freeman's mother. Mm-hmm. Just think, 96 years old. But as you were reading the things that she did and championed in her lifetime. When you go back that far, and she was so involved in hunger projects well before their time. And I'm reminded of how proud I am to be a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about people who worked with the poor, who fought for legislation, for medical care, for Social Security, for food stamps, for every single project you can name that is a safety net and a cushion for people in our society who need that, has been put together, fought for, and maintained by the Democrats. I could be wrong, but I believe not one of them by Republicans. Republicans fought Social Security, still do, want to get rid of it. They fought Medicare, they fought Medicaid. They're still trying to dissolve food stamps as much as they can. Every social net we have that says we as a society care for one another, our brothers and sisters, has been put together and maintained by Democrats.
There was praise today from Governor Mark Dayton to Mrs. Freeman. Jane Freeman, he says, was a wonderful first lady, an outstanding civic leader. We have DFL Chair Ken Martin also praising her for her being a founding mother of the DFL and growing up during the Depression, having a passion for justice and opportunity. All sorts of wonderful things. I ran into her once, I think, at a protest, just for like moments, and got to meet her. You've also met Jane Freeman, haven't you?
Well, this really goes back a very long time. When Wendy Anderson was governor of the state of Minnesota, his wife Mary and he were very good friends because my husband Bill Carlson had been in the service with Wendy. They were in psychological warfare together. And their friendship went back to the service. And so when Wendy became governor, he included his friends, and we did a lot of things with Wendy and Mary over at the governor's mansion and attended so many extraordinary dinners. I remember the king and queen of, I believe, Norway, not Sweden, I believe Norway, were here once, and we had to be coached as to how to properly bow and curtsy in a manner to the king and queen. And it was at one of those many dinners that Mr. and Mrs. Freeman were present. And I remember because they were really a little before my time in terms of being politically active, but very much part of my husband's time. And of course, my mother and dad, who were devoted Democrats. And I remember being so thrilled to meet this man who, in my mind, was iconic, even, you know, then. And indeed, he was an Orville Freeman, and then, of course, a Hubert Humphrey and a Walter Mondale have contributed so much to Minnesota and to the fiber of this nation.
You know, I think you can trace the Democratic Party through there, Orville Freeman to Hubert Humphrey, to Mark Dayton. And the real question, I think, in a lot of people's minds is who's going to be the standard bearer for the Democratic Party here in Minnesota for this next generation? Because we are, you know, Governor Dayton is leaving office here in less than a year, and yes, there is a scramble for his position. Do you see anybody in the Democratic Party here who has that same lineage, of that same ilk, is going to work?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because until you just said that, I had not thought in terms of who's next. I mean, you think who's going to run, but that's not what we're talking about here.
No,
we're talking about the term you use, the standard bearer.
Who's going to be the conscience of the party here?
Gosh, maybe the listeners have someone in mind, but the standard bearer is that one who has fought for issues very hard and and has stood for things against the wind. And I can't think of anyone in the new generation that has done that. Can you, Mike?
Well, I mean, we have candidates for governor who are running right now. We have Aaron Murphy.
Of course, yes. You're talking about.
Yeah,
you're talking about that kind of person who stands out, who has, you know, been out there fighting the fight, and often the fight for the oppressed and the needy. And we have some wonderful people. I don't mean to suggest we don't, but I'm talking about a bigger picture than that, and I think you are too.
Yeah, I mean, people who are in the legislature come to mind. Melissa Hortman, who is one of those, because she is the minority leader, she has to be, you know, the voice of the opposition. But she always cuts to the point. She is, you know, very, very. She's been an advocate for women. She's been if we remember back to her comment, you know, the white male card game going on in the back room. Please break that up. Come out here and listen to these women who are talking. These women of color who are talking on important issues. I mean, she's somebody who doesn't take BS, and you know that's an important element in this. I don't know if that's the standard bearer of the party. She's obviously, she's not running for governor. She's running for House leader.
We may be muddling with here is that, and I know we're talking about history and we're looking back, but in their time, in their day, as they were fighting the fight, if you said Hubert Humphrey, if you said Orville Freeman,
Walter Mondale, right?
Everybody immediately understood who they were. I suppose it's possible, if we're looking for that very identifiable name, Amy Klobuchar comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, she's probably the most prominent DFLer. And by the way, folks, if you've got some thoughts on this, I mean, we just kind of picked this topic out of the air here because of Jane Freeman's death. But if you have some thoughts on who is going to be the standard bearer of the DFL here in Minnesota, give us a call at 952-946-6205. Amy Klobuchar, I think a lot of people look at her and say, well, she's too moderate. She's middle of the road. I hear that from a lot of people on the, you know, in the DFL party. They're happy to have her in the party, but they feel like she leads from behind. She isn't out in front of things as much. Your thoughts?
Well, I understand the criticism. There are times with all of the people we have put in office, I think, oh, come on, put your boxing gloves on. Come on. Mm-hmm. And there are just as many times when my passion says, I want you to put your boxing gloves on, and my intellect says, I understand why, if you do, nothing will get done. And politicians are wide open, and I often think, damned if they do and damned if they don't. If they are too tough, if they are too aggressive, if they have the gloves on too often, everybody else shuts them down and shuts them out and stops taking them seriously, and they can't make any inroads at all because they become known as the person who can't be spoken to, who can't compromise, who can't hear other people. And then as soon as they do that, then the other faction says, well, they're doing that too much, and they're not fighting, and they're not tough enough. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me a very, very difficult line to walk. The name Paul Wellstone comes to mind.
I was going to bring
him
up.
My dad always used to call Paul Wellstone a little banty rooster. He said he's just like a little banty rooster. Well, he was, in a way, wasn't he? And and if we were looking for a standard bearer and he were still with us, I would imagine he would be the first name that would come to mind, because he was one who put his gloves on. Mm-hmm. But, Mike, it was also at a very different time. What our politicians face today is a political diorama that I don't think we have in our lifetime ever seen before. The extreme right is so extreme. They are even uncooperative with their own party, the majority on the Republican Party. I don't have the recipe as to how somebody walks the line, but I'm always hesitant to be too hard on people who do.
I want to throw out one more name here, and then I want to take some phone calls. But you mentioned Paul Wellstone, and the guy who really was trying to pick up the mantle of Paul Wellstone was Al Franken. I mean, I love Al Franken.
I love what he made of himself. I love how he was smart, and he went to the Senate, and he knew everybody was going to dismiss him as the comic and the comedian, this Harvard graduate, and he hunkered down, and he learned, and he worked across the aisle, and he made a difference. And to the end of my life, I will think that one of the great injustices that I have seen come from the Senate is the dismissal or the push out that Al Franken suffered, rather than, as he had said from day one, please do a full review. He deserved that full review, and we lost him, and we shouldn't have.
Because
I know a lot of women don't like it when I say that, but I've known Al for 35 years. I do not instantly, without further conversation and discussion, believe the accusations that were leveled. That doesn't, you know, again, women are going to say, well, you have to believe women. Of course you do. And trust me, I'm one of those women. I came up in an era where I understand what it is to wake up every morning and wonder how you're going to manage that guy in the hallway, and if you don't do it right, are you going to lose your job? And there was no HR to go to, and there was no sexual harassment laws. I lived it. So I don't need anybody to tell me how much we need to support women. I think Al was done wrong. He should have had his day in court, and he didn't get it, and we have suffered for it.
I think when we were talking about who picks up the mantle, and we both kind of just had this blank, you know, looking for names, I think part of the reason is that Al Franken is a non-entity right now in politics in Minnesota. When he's left a void here, and I don't think we've quite figured out who's filling that void, and maybe that's really the conversation we're having here. I want to get to the phones here, because phones have lit up on this topic. 952-946-6205 if you want to join us. Robin from Fridley wants to jump in. Hey, Robin, what's your thoughts?
Hey, firstly, Nancy, I want to thank you so much for what you just said about Al Franken. And I lived through the same era that you did, and the whole circumstance was highly suspicious, and he did not get a day in court. I just wanted to pose a question and make a suggestion about, you know, in terms of this issue of who carries the standard for our party. You know, the question I'm posing is, how would we know? Because we're dependent on a mainstream media that, you know, in order for names to stand forward, we're in part dependent on a mainstream media, which is pretty much owned as the conservative side now. And to understand the impact of that, all you have to do is look at what was done to Bernie Sanders during the election. He was shut out. So I'm going to suggest that we stop looking outside ourselves for confirmation in any way about who bears our standard, and start standing strong for our own values. And forget about this whole thing of compromising with these hard right people. Every time we do that, we lose. So we have to find another way to negotiate. And I think that standing strong for who we are and what we actually believe in, the old-fashioned values of creating a great society, stand up for it, speak out for it, make that who we are, and forget about everybody else and the conservatives. That's pretty much what I have to say. I think we really haven't given that a try, not as strongly as we could. And
Thank you.
I think it's
that's
time.
That's an idealistic, brave approach. I certainly couldn't disagree with it.
Hey, Robin, thanks for the comment. We are the people we've been waiting for. We often hear that, but we are the folks that we've been waiting for to lead.
That was Obama's quote. We are the change we have been waiting for.
Absolutely. Hey, Nancy, we got to take a break here because we got to fit those commercials in. But when we get back, we'll continue talking with Nancy Nelson and taking your phone calls, 952-946-6205. You're listening to the Mike McEntee Show here on AM 950.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after Excel Center events or anytime. Mo is serious about burgers, offering 20 fresh, never frozen varieties. Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Not to mention more than 60 beers on tap and happy hours twice daily. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show here on AM 950. We're talking with Nancy Nelson. We got started here in a conversation basically kicked off by the news here that Jane Freeman, the wife of Governor Orville Freeman, had died. She was 96. She was very instrumental in putting together the party, the DFL party.
And the mother of Mike Freeman.
And the mother of Mike Freeman.
Of course, the Hennepin County attorney. Hennepin County. Oh, my
gosh.
Yes,
Hennepin County attorney, yes. And
okay.
So we kind of got into who is the standard bearer of the party. And I want to take that kind of to the next level here, which is the governor's race. I want to talk about the governor's race for a moment. I was at the Capitol today and the press, the press room, they're talking about, when is Governor Pawlenty going to announce that he's running? And it was kind of like, guessing which day, because everybody's ready for him to announce. He put out an email.
Is it certain, Mike, that he's going to? Is there no doubt?
Email today, asking people to pledge to support him. I mean, it sounds like it's going to happen. And I wanted to go back to an interview we had last week with former Governor Arne Carlson, because I asked him about Tim Pawlenty.
Big bone that I would pick with Governor Pawlenty is that he used the governorship of the state of Minnesota as a stepping stone to national office, and all too often sacrificed the needs of Minnesota in order to achieve his personal objective. And the result was, I think it's fair to say, we went from deficit to deficit to deficit. We borrowed from the future to prevent tax increases. And the state, frankly, was in a whale of a mess when Governor Dayton took over.
I don't know. Do people remember that, Nancy?
I don't know if they do or not. I certainly do, because the only thing that it seemed Governor Pawlenty cared about was cutting taxes. And I, for one, am so fed up with the constant drum banging about gotta cut taxes, as if we think we all live in fairyland and the fairy godmother is going to build our crumbling bridges and educate our children and pay for our police and fire. The privilege of living in the greatest nation in the world requires the payment of dues, and dues are in the form of taxes, and we should be proud to pay taxes that support this remarkable society that we have. And all we talk about is how terrible it is to pay taxes, and I resent it, and I resent anyone who made it their goal to do nothing more than cut taxes, and certainly Governor Pawlenty cut taxes, and as Governor Anderson suggests, left us with one pile of problems after another. Yeah. Is he coming back to do this, Mike? Because there is still some groundswell alive Minnesota Pawlenty? Needs Tim Pawlenty. What is the impetus for this?
You know, I don't know, other than... you know, I guess he thinks that he can get the job. You know, he left the job not because I think he was tired of the job. It's just that he wanted to be president. So,
well, yeah, and that just crumbled so quickly. And it was my understanding, I plead ignorance, but I bet you know, that he had landed because of the things he espoused, primarily cutting taxes and his brief national presence, a very big, high-paying job on Wall Street. Did he not?
Yes, he did. I think the big thing is he sees that it's a very weak Republican field, Jeff Johnson being the leading contender, and Jeff Johnson got his clock cleaned last time in the election. I want to grab some phone calls here, just because about a minute or so left. Carol from Eagan has been hanging on the line. Hey, Carol, you wanted to jump in on our conversation here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on the last couple conversations, and I think for many of us who lived it, we forgot, we haven't told our history. For those of us who worked for women's rights, for those of us who protested the Vietnam War, for us that were out there in the streets, and then when we got it, we didn't tell our history. And I think we have to educate some of the younger people in the party what we went through to get where we are, and why there have to be people strong enough to not let this all go to waste.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that we make a huge mistake in not emphasizing the importance of everybody studying history. The only reason we're here is because of what we did. And the only reason we can go back to what we did is because we don't remember what we did. And so history is so very, very important. I couldn't agree with you more. And those of us who marched against Vietnam and saw it end and marched for civil rights and saw it happen and marched for women's rights, and now we have more. I think one of the problems is
we have to run here, Nancy, but thank you so much for joining me today. We'll be back on Monday, and we'll see you then.